Okay, there you go, Sid.
Okay, very good. Okay, it is the meeting of the Covenants, Conditions, and Restrictions CC&R Committee meeting, Monday, October 4th, 2021. And it is currently 5:34 by my watch. Okay, I'm calling the meeting to order at this time. General Manager, will you take roll for us, please?
Yes. I just want to acknowledge that there was some miscommunication about whether we were meeting in person or virtual. So those who are absent were simply thinking that we were meeting virtually. So.
And this is our first in-person meeting.
In-person meeting, okay. Exactly. So Vice Chair Bob Dutta is absent. Patricia Rivera is absent. Kelly Cantola?
Present.
And Monique Scobie is absent. And Director Wooten?
Here.
And Director Bazette?
Yes, filling in for Director Scobie.
Yes.
Okay, now we're looking at the agenda from the last meeting. I don't know if people have had a chance to look at it. I'm sorry, the approval of the present agenda. A motion is in order to approve the agenda.
I'll second the motion.
No, somebody's got to make the motion.
I'll make a motion.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Okay, it's been moved that the agenda be approved. It's been seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Nay. Okay, it has been approved. Now we need to have the approval of the conformed agenda. That's with the whatever changes may have been made. And the conformed agenda is from August 2nd.
I'll make a motion to approve the conformed agenda.
Okay, thank you. It's been moved that we approve the conformed agenda. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, it's moved and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Okay, now it is time for open forum. Since we're actually in person, I don't see anyone at this point. And we have no Zoom capability.
Correct.
So, okay, then I will skip the instructions on the open forum. Okay, we move on to department matters, presentation, revenue enhancements from General Manager Ritzman. We're going to present a PowerPoint presentation.
So, and what I think I might do, I'll think about Kelly and Eleni, as at the end of the we may make this presentation again next month, you know, so when we have the others here.
You know, is it kind of stuck in that position in the room?
I don't have a longer cord.
Oh, that's what it is, yeah.
So.
Okay.
So anyway, so this comes from, and I think I'm far enough away from you guys. This presentation was created because there has been a lot of conversation about, we have a tax assessment on everybody property taxes for $12. That is the max that we can charge. When the tax was created years ago, there was no escalator put on that, so that there was no way for us to increase it based on cost of living or, you know, whatever that is. So we're kind of stuck at $12, and so everybody is wondering how do we change that? What I'm going to do is kind of walk you through very basic how local government agencies can raise revenues. There's a variety of ways, different people in the process have authorities, and that's what I'm going to kind of outline. So I'm open to questions. This is a general manager. I'm no expert on this. And a lot of this was taken from a webinar, an on-demand webinar from the California Special District Association. So if you would like more detail, that webinar is available. I think it's about an hour to an hour and a half long. So, and I think all of you are enrolled. It's a webinar on Zoom. You know, it's on the computer. So I think all of you are enrolled in CSCA if you want to have more information. So off we go. So there's, I want to talk about the authority to increase fees, and then also when a fee becomes a tax. So there's different thresholds on service fees, or if we require a fee, does that trigger, is it really a tax, or is it a fee? And the three different kind of bodies is voters have authorities, the board of directors has some authority in this, and then staff has some authority in this. So we're going to first talk about staff's authority. And this says, staff has authority to determine recreation program fees to offset costs of providing the programs and activities. I will tell you that there's a lot of cases where when we do a special event, like the movie night that we did in the park, we did not charge a fee, but there is a budget allocation from the board of directors that funds that program. So recreation staff go through a process, and the board of directors has a process where they say, we're going to give you this amount of money, recreation, but we want you to do these special events for our community. We want you to do these program fees, these classes, and you can charge a program fee. So
like the car show this week at the lake, was right. That a fee rather than an admission?
So that car show was an agreement between the Chamber of Commerce and the district. And there is a letter of agreement that kind of outlines roles and responsibilities. So the chamber charged an entry fee and pretty much did the event. We had some folks there picking up trash, doing restrooms, maintaining the park for the event. That fee was collected at our kiosk, and it was $5 a car.
So that's an example of a fee.
Example of a fee.
Okay.
So, and again, this is directly tied to the budget allocation that the board of directors allocates. Board's authority. So the board has authority to set fees for service fees. Fire marshal fees are a great example. ARC fees are a great example. Facility use fees. If a group wanted to rent our assembly hall, our gym, our pool, those are all fees that are set by our board of directors. And staff brings recommendations to the board on an annual basis, usually about November timeframe, so that our fees are approved for a calendar year. So we'll be coming up on making recommendations for a 2022 fees. What we do is we take into consideration the cost of providing services. We survey other agencies and what those industry standards are. So for example, for our community center fees, our biggest competitor is the fairgrounds, because they're the only other ones that have big buildings like our assembly hall. And so we make sure that our fees are just under what is charged up at the fairgrounds. So and then the budget constraints. These fees must be what I call discretionary. So people have to choose whether or not they want this service or not. This is where sometimes when we have an ordinance for mandatory garbage collection. And so there is some who believe that that ordinance violates tax law, because we are requiring people to pay this service fee to have their garbage collected. That ordinance and other local jurisdictions that have an ordinance similar to that, that has been tested with the court system, and the courts have upheld that we can charge a service fee for garbage collection, and even though we do require it. Let's see. Any questions so far?
But everything you've said so far isn't anything that you can create income out of. It needs to be collected and used.
Correct. Yeah, we are not in the business of generating excess revenue.
Right.
So, yeah, it all has to be driven by the cost of providing the service. Okay. Voters' authority. Now, voters, residents, or property owners. There's two different kind of ballot measures you can have to raise money, and one is based on residents and within our boundaries, and another kind of tax is based on our property owners. Those, our residents, have the ability to raise taxes. The board can't, the staff can't. It's got to be the people of the district that want that. I will tell you that probably 15 to 20 years ago, there was a time when a board would have like a CCNR assessment, and they would approve an adjustment to that assessment. And the state legislature, it was called Proposition 218, and you'll see that, you know, sometimes with water rates and other things, they'll say, well, this is our 218. That clarified when a board clarified the difference between a fee, a service fee, and a tax. And basically it said, no, board of directors, you cannot force a tax on even though you're elected officials and you all agreed, you cannot force a tax. It has to be the voters. So, our district does have voter approved taxes. They are the 20 lighting and landscape districts that we have. We have a CCNR tax assessment, and we have a community center general obligation bonds. And that was a bond that was passed about 12 years ago that built was for the construction of this community center, and that sunsets in 8 years. So those are voter approved taxes that we have already have.
And when that sunsets, this place isn't in jeopardy, just the payment of it stops off of our taxes.
Right, I think it was $20 million okay. That for was the general obligation bond. That's so the voters will have paid off. Yeah, will have paid off the bond that funded the construction.
Okay, my recollection is something like $80-$85 a parcel, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not really. I don't know.
I can't. It's been
Just got our parcel thing like two days ago, so those.
Yeah, it's funny. It's been a long time, but I can't remember if that was a month or what it was.
Yeah, and it does adjust.
Maybe a year. Yeah. It wasn't a lot.
It does adjust based on the number of residents that are paying for it. What the payment was that we made and stuff like that. So it does adjust a little bit.
Okay.
Okay. So there's two types of voter-approved taxes. There is a special tax, and there is a benefit assessment. So a special tax is, so the general obligation bond for the community center was a special tax. Registered voters and residents, it was a general obligation bond. And it needed the supermajority greater than 2/3 to pass. There is a broad, when you have a special tax, let's say a sales tax, voters wanted a special sales tax. You know, that is also something else. Transient occupancy tax is another tax that you'll see oftentimes. It has a broad range of things it can fund. And it's a general benefit, but it's harder to pass. So the other kind of tax is a benefit assessment, and that basically ties the benefit to the property owner. That's where you see those lighting and landscape districts, whereas there is a tax, and that landscaped corridor or those streetlights benefit distinct properties. Those are generally voted on by property owners, and it's a mail-in ballot. So it's not like the special tax, which happens on a voting day. You know, you're voting for president or senators or local initiatives, and then you vote for the special tax. A benefit assessment goes out separate from that, and it's generally a mail-in ballot. There's a 45-day period where they can respond, and it only takes 50 plus one to pass.
Of the votes turned in?
Of the votes turned in.
Mm-hmm. And it's a targeted ballot, or it goes to the group that's benefited, community as a whole?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
And it's 51, is that percent? Is that correct?
So 50 plus one okay. vote, yeah.
Got it, okay.
Yeah. And I believe it's of the ones that are returned, but I could be wrong on that.
That was not the details
where I get a little sketchy on.
50 people?
No, 50. Percent.
50%.
Plus
one vote.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that's important to know whether it's the ballots returned or the potential.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it is the ballots that are returned.
That doesn't seem as bad.
Yeah, it's not as bad, but you have your ballot measure is different in that it has to be very specific on what that benefit is. So there are things to consider if someone chooses to have a special tax or a benefit assessment kind of tax. The agency cannot take a position on it. We can provide information. We can say, if you gave us an additional $100,000 a year, we would spend it on X, Y, and Z. But we can't say, oh, yes, you should vote for this. We can't do that. So we can provide information. We cannot take a position on it. And the community, it's got to be a community-led initiative. So typically, for like when the community center came around, there was a small group of people that worked for many years to pass that ballot measure. You need to figure out what your messaging is and how you want to campaign. Generally, a lot of times you need a professional to help you with that messaging and a team of volunteers. Ballot initiatives cost money.
And
so,
fundraise for those?
Mm-hmm, yeah, you can absolutely fundraise for those.
Especially
and that's probably
the seniors.
Probably what they did for the community center and the law obligation fund is that they go. Ballot measures initiatives cost money. I think the agency can pay that, but the board of directors would have to agree to pay for that ballot initiative. It costs less if you are with the general election versus if you wanted an off-cycle election. And there's different strategies that the experts can tell you about. Well, if you do an off-cycle election, it costs you more, but there's more of a chance of it passing. You know, it's just there's 100 different ways to slice this pie. There is polling that takes place. It's very important that you have surveys and polling to see if your initiative is going to pass. Oftentimes what will happen is that they will poll early in the initiative to kind of get a baseline. Would you be willing to pay $50 a year for X, Y, and Z? Would you be willing to pay $75 a year for MNOP? You know, and so they kind of do that polling early about the initiative that they're thinking about to kind of get a read on what might or might not pass. And then they'll do additional polling as it goes down. As they narrow the ballot initiative, then they'll poll to see if that specific ballot initiative is going to pass or not. And then they usually don't pull the trigger on having the vote until they are feeling fairly certain that it's going to pass.
Is the cost difference going with a regular election versus mailing or a special election, is it significant?
The general having something included in the general election or doing a mail-in is lesser expensive than having an off-cycle election.
So between those two, then which is the more expensive?
It depends on how many people you mail to.
Okay.
So and for Cameron Park, there are, if you mail it to property owners, there's about 7,000.
Almost 8,000.
Almost 8,000. Property owners.
Okay.
That would, and it goes first class, and then it's the printing and all of that. So you county voting, the elections department at the county is the one that handles this, and so there is a fee to county elections to manage this.
Okay.
election.
The big trick here that she's pointing out, and for the record, this is Jim Mogg. The big thing that she's pointing out, though, is this has got to be led by somebody else outside of boards, committees, staff. It's got to be an organization that says, hey, we really need this, and we're going to work hard to push it forward.
Chamber of Commerce?
Yeah, I think you know, chambers, I think board, elected board members can obviously have an opinion on it. They're not voting on it. So you can, our board of directors can take a position to support the measure. It's just that staff cannot, you know, have a position on it.
Yeah. Does that mean then if, say, Sid wants to work on putting together an organization to work on this, he could be a part of that, or no?
I think it's a conversation that we would have to have with whoever the district's council is to say what role can our board members
not
play.
A leader, maybe not a leadership role, but you could be part of maybe.
Right.
Yeah, something like that.
With
the
chamber, I'm an ambassador for the chamber, but there's buku ambassadors. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not very hard. You sign your name and you're an ambassador. But they do a lot.
Yeah, so, and I think, and it's those groups, you know, it's having the chamber sign on as a supporter, having the Rotary sign on as a supporter, schools, districts, and things like that. But, and all of those organizations are important, but, you know, passing a tax initiative in El Dorado County is next to impossible. it truly is, and so you just have to be very careful. And what I have found is that people want to support an organization who is doing great things. If you have an organization that is doing great things in the community, and the community is like, yeah, I want more movies in the night, or I want the pool open longer in the evenings, or I want our fire department to have a 3-0 staffing model instead of a 2-0 staffing model, whatever those initiatives, you know, are, and if we're doing well and they want us to do more, that's an easier sell because there's that trust than it is if you have an organization that is not operating well, you know, if there's distrust, if there's poor communication, you know.
This is off the subject, but what's the name of the new chief, fire chief?
New fire chief, we have Josh Augustin.
Josh Augustin.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
So, anyway.
I can remember.
So I think that those are all, you know, things, you know, to consider as you move forward.
You know, one that is timely is weed abatement and fire danger.
Mm-hmm.
So that is some aspect or a priority, at least it was when I was on this committee, was we were always looking at the fire danger potential of vehicles or weeds or bushes or something like that.
Yeah, and I think that if, you know, and some of that early polling can tease those things out.
Yeah.
What does the community want more of, you know? And if you can tease those things out, then you just craft and you feel it's important, people want that to happen, then your smaller group of people crafts a ballot measure that then you move forward with. And, you know, this community center general obligation bond passed just 12 years ago. So this community has passed taxes, and you have your residents are changing. I think there's a lot of new people that have a higher expectation of services, streetlights, which is not us per se, but you know, sidewalks, you know, more formal stormwater drainage and things like that. So, you know, those newer residents may, something like this might be attractive. My last slide is questions.
What's the best timing?
It's always good to understand what else is happening in the community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if there's other ballot initiatives, is the local schools going out with a bond? You know, is there other things, organizations out there, does EID have a fee increase that is coming on? You know, whatever those things are, you know, it's good to know what else is happening in your community so that you're not competing. People are not have to choose between a school bond and the district's bond or something like that tax.
And I would also have to add to that, timing also goes back to what Joe was talking about with how does the community feel. So like in the CC&R department, those taxes are at $12 per household, okay? That was established in 1985 without an escalator. There is a good handful, a good percentage of our public that does want to see more enforcement, while there's others that just don't even know about it. So a goal is to get that awareness up and be in a position that the majority of the community understands the trouble here. 1985, $12, today would be more like 28 to 32. So.
And that's
for
the whole year.
$12
a year, right?
Yeah,
yes.
The whole year.
Yeah. I mean, it's $3 but even that little amount, I mean, nobody likes to see their taxes raised. So.
It's a dollar a month currently.
I think it's just in the last 2 months that the Eldorado Hills CST had a lighting and landscape assessment go forward for an increase, and it was voted down. Mm-hmm. And really, the only decision that you can make at that point is to then lower services.
Yeah, so a little bit of a risk there, you know.
Yeah. So if the district wanted to go out with initiative, they would need to decide, well, do we do just CC&Rs? Do we do CC&Rs and, you know, some things in recreation and parks and the fire department, you know? So it's a strategic conversation, and you really have to hire your experts. You know, there is a way to extend the general obligation bond, you know, and just continue that. I know that people are more interested in things continuing. If they're already paying it, well, to continue paying it, tell us what you're going to do with the money. So, you know, there's that.
Open the Gilmore Center.
To explore as well.
Thank you, Jill.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, awesome.
So, what do you think about doing this again next month with the full committee?
I wouldn't have a problem.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very good. Okay, Mr. Mogg, review and support items. Okay, we've got the proposed fee schedule. Are you going to present something, Marty?
Yes. Okay. If you want to turn to the back of your agenda, before the case detail report, you're going to see a page that says Architectural Review 2022 Proposed Fee Schedule.
That little one right there.
So as you can see, we've done comparison with some of our neighboring CSDs. We have Auburn Lakes Trails, Eldorado Hills. We also have our current fee schedule on the far left and our proposed fee schedule on the far right. Okay. All in all, again, like Jill had mentioned, we're trying to stay under our neighbors. Now, if we want to go through these, you can see that for new homes, we have currently 600. Our neighbors have over 1,000 or over 2,000. We're proposing 750 for a new home construction. There's not a lot of land left in Cameron Park. So it's, you know, I think I had somewhere outside of Revere, I had somewhere around, I think it was 12 new home projects last year. Okay. Room additions are only going up $40 as proposed. And with the new ADU law and JADU laws,
ADU,
additional dwelling unit. So at the beginning of 2021, a new law was passed that supersedes HOAs, CC&Rs, and all these rules, that if your CC&R says you're only going to have one residential unit, this new law trumps that.
It's a granny flat.
Yeah.
It allows for people to build a granny, little granny in their backyard.
Mm-hmm. It's also to help alleviate the housing crisis that we have here in California.
Yes.
So,
ADU, would you say that again?
Additional dwelling unit.
Unit,
yeah.
Thank you.
And JADU is junior additional dwelling unit. So,
what's the difference?
The difference is ADU is primarily detached, and a JADU is built onto the existing home.
Okay.
Okay? So we're going to treat, what we're proposing is that we treat those the same as a room addition. I don't want to take advantage of this new law, and I think it's fair, because they can, whoever, these residents, they can pass that on to their renters, that cost.
Did you guys increase fees last year?
No, we did not, and thank you for bringing that up.
That's why I'm not saying anything, because I know they didn't.
We did not do it due to COVID, due to, you know, restricted services, and I think some of it even was staff. We have it here, 2020. I think you're right. I think it was, the last one was done in 2020.
Okay.
We did not do one for 2021. Now we're proposing one for 2022. The overall for all of these fees is basically a 10 plus 10 for the 2 years, 10%, 10% for the 2 years, bringing it back up to current.
Jim, are you looking for us to approve this, to bring it forward, to move towards the board out of the CCNR?
This is asking for your support and approval to move it to the board of directors, correct?
Yeah.
There is one edit that I would like to do on here, and that is under tree removal. I would like to keep that tree removal fee static at $40. I do not want this fee going up to a point where people are going to cut their trees down and ask forgiveness later. There's already not enough awareness.
50.
Yeah, so
I don't see.
Keep it at 40.
Keep it at
40, because I want people to come in and question. I don't want it to be a dollar amount that keeps them from getting
and
approval.
That happens.
Yes. We do see a lot of trees being cut down without approval, and we don't have the teeth to go after them, so I have to turn that into code enforcement up at the county.
Plus, we're in this fire insurance thing that you've got to remove stuff around your house.
You can remove trees based on defensible space and or prove that the tree is sick or dying. Mm-hmm. Oak trees in El Dorado County are protected. And
are protected.
There is an oak tree ordinance. If a heritage oak is cut down, it can fetch $1,000 per inch on diameter of that trunk to cut it down. So we want to create more awareness, not necessarily create more revenue.
Yeah.
So that's why we'll keep it at 50. All others are right around, between the 2 years, a 20% increase.
And I think that when they went and increased it in 2020, the CCNR committee at the time, and I think, Cindy, you were on it,
yeah.
I think that all of those landscaping fees and all of the lower level $40 fees had been $40 for a long time. You made any adjustments at that point either.
I believe it was that $40 fee went from 35 to 40.
40, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I don't see us raising it so high that it's going to knock their socks off.
Mm-hmm. No.
No, I don't. I have a question, though. Mm-hmm. Is this, you're responsible for the CCNRs, but you're also responsible for architecture review. Is that correct?
That is correct. Architecture.
So is this a backdoor funding source for CCNRs?
It does support that department.
Okay.
But I wouldn't necessarily consider it funding for the department. Would that be correct?
So I would say Jim's time is about 50-50. 50% doing ARC and 50% doing CCNRs.
Okay.
So if you think about that, the tax assessment, which raises $100,000 a year or something like that, funds the majority of it, and these ARC fees then fund. What did you raise last year in ARC fees?
Tax assessments approximately $80,000. So you're close.
$80,000.
And then last year I think we settled at around $29,000 on the ARC.
$30,000.
20 or 29?
29. I want to say it was right about there.
Yeah.
Okay.
So our tax assessment, funds the majority of it.
Yeah,
and these
definitely.
Fees offset our, the application process, our organizing meetings for the ARC committee that meet once a week, and things like that. I think you also have to, and Jim and I had this conversation, when we have a CCNR violation, what is the violation? And I think that what Jim has done more than maybe previous officers is that if he drives by and there's a fence that has been constructed in the last 6 months that is not consistent with the CCNRs, the violation is you didn't get ARC approval. So he sends it to the revenue side of the house instead of the CCNR side of the house, which is the where you have all of the cost.
Yeah.
So.
What day is the ARC meeting? Tuesday?
They're every Tuesday morning.
At what time?
8:30 a.m.
Thank you.
So, Jim, I have two things on there. One, do you think with the increase in where would you, in this fee schedule, where would you put or would you want to add anything around batteries or Generac units? Do they fall under solar? I mean, I think you're going to start to see over the next year people doing battery units or Generacs right. without solar panels.
We do get a lot of generators that come in, and I file them under miscellaneous.
Okay, so they're tagging under there.
Tag it under there, but you know, it's not. If you want to make a motion that we actually have a line item for generators, that's not a problem either, and I would still keep it at that same price.
I guess the question would be, is it a permanent generator or is it a temporary generator?
Temporary generators, I don't require.
So
but if you're putting in like a Generac system, and the purposes of that review is primarily to make sure that they're adhering to setbacks and stuff like that.
Because there's a noise aspect and there's a danger aspect to fire.
The newer Generac systems are pretty quiet.
Uh-huh.
Anytime you have any kind of equipment within 5 feet of a property line, the county code does request a noise barrier. Those portable generators are much louder than.
Oh, I have one. It's
In our court in Poly Pines, man, everybody, and there it goes.
Yeah, 2 years ago when they shut us down like crazy, you could hear it all through the neighborhoods. Yeah. But there wasn't any complaints about it because everybody was in the same boat.
Sure, and it was not going to go on forever.
Right.
Okay. So what's a reasonable amount?
For the generators?
Yeah.
I say keep it at miscellaneous at the 50.
I agree. Yeah.
I agree.
The second thing would be, I mean, from my perspective, I mean, Ellie and Sid, I'm willing to bring this forward for approval. The question would be is, do we think that our existing fearless leader has any input on this at all? I mean, I know she's pretty well tied into this. Do we want to make a motion to move this forward this time and get some input from her? Or Jim, have you ran this by her at all?
Monique?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she'll see it.
Okay.
Yeah, she'll see it.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
And I'm representing her, so I think I approve it, then that should suffice, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we have an alternate system set up so that another board member is appointed to a committee.
Got it, okay.
Good.
That makes sense.
So in your motion, just make note that the tree removal will stay at 40 and that you're looking at adding a line for generators.
Yeah.
We also have the new line that where I'm capturing a fee for above ground pools and spas. We never had that, where our neighbor CSDs have had that. So it's rated at 80, where a new pool is at 200.
And what are you calling the permanent generator? There was you had some other way of describing it?
I like a Generac.
Generac's a brand.
The brand name. Yeah.
It's a whole house generator.
Thank
I think
you.
Is
That's
what
a good
called.
Description.
I'd want language more than generators if for the motion. Whole house generator? Permanent generator? Well, I mean, what's a better way of.
Hardwired generator? Well, you can hardwire it.
In the temporary ones,
yeah. Yeah.
It's a good question.
Because we don't want to confuse that issue with those temporary run-out ones.
Right.
I think it's permanent.
Whole house.
The word permanent, maybe. Is that the best one?
Yeah, probably.
Or fixed. Yeah, permanent fixed. Or fixed.
Yeah, okay. Both
yeah.
Those would work.
Okay. And I can even put in
parentheses. We're thinking how much?
Fixed.
$40 on it?
$50. Because outside of a tree removal, 50 is now going to be our lowest fee.
Okay. And it's a one-time thing, too.
Yes.
You know, yeah, okay. Okay, so a motion is in order to accept the two changes to this. The tree removal will remain at 40, and we were adding permanent generators at 50.
$50.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did you want to make a motion, Ellie?
And all other increases are good?
Good. We'll support the new proposed 2022. I'll make the motion just to move it along. So I propose that we accept the architectural review proposed 2022 proposed fee schedule, with the exceptions that the tree removal will remain at 40, and we will add in the blank space at the bottom, permanent generators at 50.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I'll second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Maybe we should do a voice vote on this one. General Manager, would you call the roll, please?
Sure. Director Bob Detta, Community Member Bob Detta is absent. Director Bazette?
Aye.
Director Wooten?
Aye.
Community Member Tricia Rivera is absent. And Kelly Cantola?
Aye.
Okay.
Okay, it's been approved. It's been voted and approved. Very good.
Okay.
Back on our agenda here. I think it's number 7. Okay, monthly staff report, Mr. Mall.
So, item number 7A, open violation, CCNR violation manager case detail report. The overview referred to legal. We have one item that's still working in legal. We have no pre-legal notices out at this time. We have 3 final notices, 19 initial notices, and 1 variance that we've been in contact with that gentleman.
Oh, it's the...
in Eastwood Park.
It's the...
It was a 1-year variance for hardship to have his equipment outside on the street.
The truck that was associated with the farm.
Okay.
You remember that one?
Yes, I do. Very well. That was our first.
That was your variance. First variance. And it's an annual renewal because it's supposed to be a temporary variance for hardship. And so he was back in. He was quite worried that we were going to drop his variance. And we said no.
And what is the renewal date on that?
It's passed.
This
Monique, I think, brought it up in a previous meeting. Hey, she wanted to have an update on this variance. So I submitted a letter to the person that has the variance and let them know that it has expired, and asked if he's been able to accomplish the problem and solve that.
What street was that?
I think it's Chasen.
Chasen.
I don't know for exact, but I think it's Chasen Drive.
It says Chasen, yeah.
And is there a fee associated, an annual fee with it? I'm trying to remember all that. Okay.
Now, I think his assumption was that it's ongoing.
It never goes away. One-time deal? Okay.
Yeah, and it's been going now for about 2 years. So is that something we're going to revisit with this committee at a later date?
Yeah, so probably what we'll do is, he was in the middle of his farming season because mm-hmm. it's apple season and that's what he does.
Okay.
And so I just let him know that, you know, we would reconnect with him November, December timeframe.
Right. That's right.
You know, and he was wondering that he really thought that it was perpetual, and we said, no, it's annual. It's an annual variance, and we do have to go through this renewal process. And mm-hmm. so we agreed to reconnect in December. So,
So moving on, we had...
just a question here. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
The initial notice is 19. That seems pretty high to me. Mm-hmm. Is there something unusual, or could you characterize that?
No, it just means I've been out in the field more.
Okay.
It's I've been in the field more. It goes from, we have our courtesy notice. If it hasn't been resolved on courtesy notice, our next notice is initial notice. So I went out and reviewed past notices, and these are the ones that needed to go to the next step.
Is there a particular pattern to anything? What typically are these?
Most of them will be toys out in the yard.
Okay.
A lot of them are toys out in the yard, maybe disrepair.
And Sydney, toys, he means RVs. RVs,
yes.
Boats.
Okay. Oh,
not kid toys.
So no, I understood what you meant.
Okay,
I got it.
Good,
sorry.
Good. I just
boats and RVs and trailers.
Yeah.
Boats,
and
RVs.
Extra vehicles. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
There was 19 initial notices.
I'm on page number 8 here, so. No, you're on the wrong page.
I drove by our friends who we had modify the fence. It
yes.
looks great.
Oh, nice.
Did they fix it?
Awesome.
It looks amazing.
I have not been out there, but it is on the case report. So thank you for looking at that, because that was my next trip, was to go and see that they accomplished it.
It looks like it belongs in the community instead of the big. So we had a property where they put up fencing in front, and it was beautiful fencing.
Uh-huh.
But we had to take it now. It's just basically the open fence that's about yay high.
4 foot.
Exactly. Yeah, it looks great. Even cut the side down.
Nice.
That's awesome.
I'll be looking forward to
it. And I hope that they're happy with it too. I mean, I hope that they feel like that it was worthwhile.
It was an architectural fence more than holding a dog in or something then.
They had meant to enclose their front yard in. And it really started taking away from what it looked like in the community. Instead of that open look where you can look down and just see past everything, they were trying to enclose it and add a gate to their property.
And there's no opposition to a gate in the future, but it still has to be open construction.
Okay.
Now, also, on initial notices, to further that question, is there a pattern? I do not restart a notice. So if I give a courtesy notice and they put their boat away, but then 2 minutes later I find it back out in the yard, I don't start over with courtesy notice again. I go to the next notice.
Okay, so some of them, these might be
some of these is just like
pass a little bit.
You already know the rules.
Yeah.
You already had the first letter. Now we're going on to the next one.
Okay.
And on those initial notices, if they put it away and bring it out again, now we go to final notice. And that will be their first notice on the next violation. So we had 11 cases that were new. We had 9 cleared cases. So basically I was going through my reports and going out and revisiting places. 9 of them cleaned it up. Let's say for hypothetical purposes, 9 of them went to initial notice. 11 I found in the neighborhood new.
Okay.
Total cases open currently are 73. So we did a big jump, about 20 cases from our last report. Architectural review progress. That was 23 projects reviewed. 23 projects were approved. None were held over, and none came to the CC&R committee.
Oh, that's good.
It was a busy, busy time period.
Yeah, yeah.
So then in the back, we have our overall report. And Kelly, you had mentioned the Knollwood. That one, you can see, I left these on there to show you guys which ones had cleared. And that was one of those that cleared.
All was cleared.
Mm-hmm. 2,700 cleared as well on Knollwood. And on the back we have Castlebrook was cleared, Fairway was cleared. These were ones, the reason why I left the cleared on there, these were ones that hung around for a while. And I just wanted to let you know. They will fall off, they will not be on the report next time. So. And keep in mind, your report does not consist of warnings, door hangs, or courtesy notices. And you only bring them to you in a report once they've escalated.
Are you finding people are putting the sign that approved by ARC out?
It goes in waves.
Does it?
Okay. It does. Some ARC meetings, they'll contact me and they'll say, we're going to come pick it up, and then I'll have 4 or 5 go out. Well, I might go on another 2-3 weeks and nobody requests them. It also depends on the type of project that they're doing.
So you're posting the sign?
They do. They come and they pick it up
and
they check it out.
Okay.
So I always recommend they use a sign if they're going to take down an oak tree.
Yeah.
Anything that might raise attention in the neighborhood and cause my phone to blow up, I ask them to take that sign. But on simple...
Well, the permit's supposed to be pink, and it's supposed to be prominently displayed, isn't it? So it's kind of the same idea.
Yeah, when it comes to roofs and solar, I don't suggest it.
Yeah.
Those are common things, and nobody ever complains about someone changing out a roof. So, any questions?
Yeah, just to, again, for my going back to the question is, what percentage of these where there is a fire potential danger? You know, I mean, it's the weeds or an abandoned vehicle or something like that. Is that getting more and more rare?
I will admit that the fire department is doing a really good job with weed abatement. And a lot of the weed abatement issues, I will move over to the fire department. They have a little bit more bite. There's certain departments like the fire department that has more bite. They can assess fee fines. At this point, we don't.
My question is really, though, as a percentage,
nature,
how much of it draws your attention because of that danger?
Of the 19, would you say
half
pose a fire threat or?
It's a small percentage. I do have a couple out there that have stacks of pallets or something like that that I'm trying to get them to clean up.
Okay.
But the empty lot things, it's complaint driven, and I move it over to the fire department.
Okay.
So a small percentage of the 19.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very small percentage. I basically, you know, weed abatement is not in the CCNRs. If I was chasing weed abatement, that's all I would probably do in the summertime. And I really depend on the support of our fire department.
And a lot of those weeds are, what is it, on Thursday, I guess it was, the boys from the Folsom do a lot of the work.
Are you talking about the prison crew?
Yeah.
They're in there. I think a lot of them are fighting fires right now, but yeah.
Oh, it's fighting the fires too?
Yeah, and okay. You'll see up there around Mira Loma, up around the Pine Hill Preserve behind Alhambra up there.
Mm-hmm.
They went in there and they did a lot of clearing and all of that. That was Growlersburg.
Okay.
Yeah.
Growlersburg, thank you. I couldn't remember that dog after.
Okay, we have a staff update. Is our general manager? CCNR 20, I don't know what those numbers mean. Archwood Road?
Oh, that is.
Okay, Archwood Road, 2808 Archwood Road. Where are you seeing this?
Staff update's eight, number eight.
Number eight.
So I'm in the wrong one.
I think you're on the conformed agenda.
You're in the conformed agenda.
Yeah. Sorry,
I got lost
in the truck.
But if you want an update on that, we've got the shed taken care of. We're still working on the fence, and we're still in pre-legal on that.
So we're now the annual committee member appointments. I'm sorry, staff update's nine.
Yeah, so just a reminder that we will go through an annual appointment process for our community members. We've got one here, Kelly. I hope you choose to continue, with the ARC. Yes, so we'll need to just make sure, we'll reach out to you, but we want to make sure that we understand that your interest is to continue.
Okay.
And then what our process is that our president changes. So last year you went through an appointment process with Eric Aston.
Yeah.
And so Eric will probably not be elected, it's up to the board, but the president will probably change.
Okay.
And then the new president has the opportunity to appoint community members and also board members to different committees. So there's this annual appointment process that happens.
We previously had people that were forever here, and so it was kind of the opportunity to get new people in and that kind of thing. So
makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Kelly, if you know neighbors, associates, anybody that lives here that you think would be good for our architecture review committee or our CCNR committee. Encourage them to.
Absolutely, it's really important.
Yeah. Yeah, and to further this, we're back in in-person meetings, okay? ARC in the summertime requires once a week because of the amount of projects that come through. My goal, and we've discussed this, our goal is to appoint another three to the ARC committee so we don't have to force these committee members to come in every Tuesday morning. Maybe we can cycle them through and have them come in twice a month as opposed to every week. So I'm looking for three more architectural review committee members.
Or more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we need the alternates as well. And we're looking, I'm sure we could also take on another two for CCNR.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
Yeah, it's a nice way to get involved in the community. It really is, yeah. Really.
Well, I like it.
Yeah.
I geek out over streetlights these two.
It's all good. Kelly's learning all kinds of stuff about the district.
Yeah, right. Good. Excellent. Okay. Anything else from staff updates?
No.
Okay. Okay. Items for future CCNR committee agendas.
We have a CCNR handbook that needs to be revised and updated. So we do have a CCNR handbook that does exist.
Didn't we get that done last year?
No.
It didn't happen. Okay.
We recently, though, did put together an ARC handbook. I believe that came
through. Yeah, the ARC handbook came through, so the CCNR handbook is the same for the last five.
I would like to have that. Do you have any extras?
I can print one off for you, Ellie.
So there's just, there's...
I'm talking about the CCNR, okay. Not the ARC.
The CCNR handbook has some outdated stuff in it, like, for example, registered mail. It's first-class mail has tracking purposes. It seems to be a little bit easier. So that's just one example of some of the edits that need to happen, as well as the appointment process that's by the president and not appointed by the committee themselves. So there's a couple things that need to be adjusted in there. Jill and I are going to work on it together because my first stab at it needed some more editing. So we'll bring that back to you next month.
I wonder if Kelly has any suggestions. You've been on this committee to include in the handbook or anything from your point of view?
I would probably start with reading the handbook.
So okay. Very diplomatic. Okay.
Yeah. And we're gonna,
a long time since I've read this.
Yeah, and okay. We're going to bring it to you in track changes. Perfect. So okay. You're going to see the old one, and then you'll see our edits.
Okay. Excellent. Yeah. Okay, get some, nice to have people who've actually served on the committee.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. Okay, I think the item to take to the board would be the fee increase for the architectural review projects. That needs to go to the board. Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay. Is there anything else?
I think so.
Okay. All right. And is it necessary to make a motion to that for that, General Manager?
I think you guys were supportive of it. You supported it when you made your
action. We did take a vote on it. Okay. Yeah. It's very good. Okay, matters to and from committee members and staff. Anything?
I'm good.
I know Mike was going to, and he's back for vacation, to digest my streetlight proposal. So that was, that piece to you guys to figure out, what that looks like. And then also sounded like he was investigating some alternative options of third-party companies that would handle some of these. And what this is in regards to is taking a look at our light poles that are PG&E-owned poles that we pay a power bill on. They're the incandescent, really old tops of the poles. PG&E has an LED upgrade program that they will offset the cost. It's an initial increase to your actual PG&E bill. But they come out and they replace the top with a new LED light that has some fancy stuff, and I can geek out on lights another day on both of you. Mm-hmm. But that there is a potential to get in that program before it closes. And then PG&E will trim down the cost of those over the next couple years, and you end up paying around, my estimate was $400 to $500 for the upgrade. And then at, I think, month 80, I think we were hitting ROI. I didn't bring the report for both of you. Staff has it to digest, so I just kind of want...
So would that be more appropriate to the Parks and Rec committee?
I think that's what I've been thinking. No, Streetlights is LLADs. And it's an initiative that we've had for quite some time to change out those streetlights. And so Kelly has just had an interest and has been working with us on it. So
We're just helping staff get some traction with PG&E and figure out how the program works and if it makes sense for the community.
Sure.
Get a hold of AT&T so I can get my phone back.
I'd love to get a hold of AT&T to fiber when we can get fiber pulled into our neighborhood.
And I know this isn't really a CCNR item, but when you said $400 to $500 initial costs, is that per unit?
That's per unit, spread out over
80 months.
No, three years.
Okay.
Per month.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I think the inside my executive review of it, there's a little nice little diagram that shows the cost per unit, and then at month 80, you hit ROI and you have savings per lamp at that point in time.
Okay.
So the cost of it does, I think at year three it drops off and you no longer actually have the cost. So that's when the savings actually comes in and overtakes the actual cost of the lamp itself.
Gotcha.
And PG&E actually takes the whole head of the unit mm-hmm. off and puts a new head up there. Mm-hmm. And they have some great new ability to put 180 degree spectrum of light instead of a 360 in certain areas.
So you're not shining in someone's
front door or front porch. Yeah, so some of our homeowners wouldn't want that. So
sure.
Again, it'd be some analysis where you got to figure out where that would happen. Where that would happen. You also have three different levels of lights as well, and the color of light can be chosen as well. So lots of fun street
lights.
Lots of fun stuff.
Yeah. And I did see some email traffic on that, so I think he has an update.
Okay. Got it. Perfect.
You know, it's funny. One of the things, I love the night sky and Garrett Bark, and I have a new house in my neighborhood that has lights on all the time. I've lost a lot of my night sky. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
When I moved here, I actually had my neighbors come over and ask me to turn off all my porch lights. Because the theory is either light up the whole neighborhood or make it all black.
And yeah.
That helps crime.
Apparently.
Either way.
Yeah.
That and they wanted to be able to see the stars.
Yeah.
And the nice thing with these lights is that you take them out and put them in, and you can make them almost the exact same color and brightness as well. So that way it's not like you go into that really blue or white light that everyone associates with LED.
Right.
And be able to control some of that. And then the outset is that we're doing a better job of being a greener community as
sure,
well.
Sure, yeah, less energy. Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
Okay.
Anything else
okay.
from
nope.
staff? No.
Nope.
Okay, a motion to adjourn is in order.
Mm-hmm.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Is it moved? Is there a second?
Okay,
it's moved and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
Okay.
The meeting is adjourned at 6:35.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, gentlemen and ladies.
Oh, yeah.